It's good to see everyone here this morning. We appreciate so very, very much your presence today. It's good to be back with you. Been out a little bit doing some meeting work, and glad to be back with you. And it's good to see everyone here today. We appreciate so very, very much your presence today. It's a good day. It's hot. It's July. It's the South. It's humid, but we're all here today, good health, good strength. We're all very beautiful and pretty, right? We're glad to be here, and good to see each of you here today to worship the Lord. If you have your Bibles, take and turn to the book of Mark chapter 9. In just a few moments, we're going to look at that text, Mark chapter 9. We'll begin reading at verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And he answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and began to say, "I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." And after crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsions, he came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." And Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he had come into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, "Why is it that we could not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." This particular story is one that I think very intriguing to me. The next day, after the scene of the Mount Transfiguration, a father very humbly, the Matthew account says, that he fell to his knees and he begged Jesus to heal his son. From Luke's account, we find out that this is this father's only son. The deaf and the dumb spirit had seized him and would throw him into convulsions. And it tormented the boy for a long time. The father had asked the disciples to heal the son. Now back in Matthew chapter 10, we find that Jesus, when he sent out his apostles, he gave them power over unclean spirits. But the disciples were not able to cast this one out. Jesus wanted to know how long the boy had suffered in this matter. The text says, from childhood. The father really does have doubts as to whether or not Jesus can do anything for his son. Did you notice there in Mark 9 and verse 23? Jesus responds when the father says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help him." And Jesus responds. Now, it may be a little bit difficult to understand the answer. Some of your English translations may word this a bit differently. But it seems appropriate that Jesus responds to the Father by saying, "If I can." Because the Lord goes on to say, "All things are possible to him that believes." I think it's important for us to understand when we look at this particular text that this father had some faith. He just didn't have much faith. And when we notice in this particular text, I hope we understand that he says, "I do believe, but help me in my unbelief." I felt like this would be an appropriate lesson for us to study together today. Because I think all of us, whoever we are, if you've been a Christian for a year, you've been a Christian for 50 years, we believe, don't we? But there are days that we don't believe as much as we do other days. And what do we mean by that? There are days that our, if we're going to put it on a scale, one being almost no faith, 10 being great faith, there are some days that we might be a 4, 5, or 6, right? There might even be days that we feel like that we're an 8 or a 9. But aren't there days when we feel like it's 1? Aren't there days that we feel like it's 2? And maybe we can't see those particular days coming, but it just happens. For some, that happens on Sunday morning. For some, it happens on Wednesday night. For some, it's Thursday morning. We never know when whatever happens, whatever temptations are before us, whatever trials we are going through, whatever difficulties we are experiencing, it tests our faith. And sometimes we are able to deal with the problem or the issue, and we deal with it in a strong way, and we overcome, and we are blessed. But then there are those days when we do not. I think it's interesting here that Jesus asked the Father, "How long has this been happening to your son?" Do you think Jesus knew the answer to that question? I don't think Jesus asked the question for himself. I think he asked the question for those who were listening, that they might be impressed that this boy had been suffering so long. Surely there's nothing that can be done for someone that has suffered so long. But I think he asked the question for the father as well. I don't know about you, but my guess is all of us have suffered something a long time. It might be physical ailments. It might be some kind of chronic problem. It may be family. It may be spousal. It may be parental. But you've been dealing with it a long time. And what usually happens when you deal with a problem that just keeps on keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on? Well, it wears on us. It wears on us greatly. And sometimes it wears us down. Sometimes it wears us out. And sometimes we just give up. We are well aware of the fact that there are many people in this world from lots of different causes. They give up. And they kill themselves. There are problems and issues with military people. Mental issues. Emotional issues. And it just doesn't seem that a drug or a job can make it any better. And they suffer. And some see the only way out is a way out forever. I can't really put myself in this man's shoes because I've never been there. Our son, when we adopted him, had some major health issues, and we were out a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of sleepless nights for him. But thank the Lord, after a few years, we were able to get him to be physically in good shape. The Lord was good to us. The Lord was good to our son. But this father had been suffering with this, his son, all of his life. I have no idea how old the boy is. A couple of things that's important to this story. The father has enough confidence and trust. Maybe it's only three. You were still with me on the illustration? But it's enough that he comes and he's wanting to see the Lord. But the Lord is not there. He sees his disciples. This is no knock against any of our nurses or our practitioners or whatever that. But sometimes you want to go and you see a doctor. You want to see a doctor and you don't get to see the doctor. Well, sometimes people want to see the Lord. They didn't get to see the Lord. And the disciples could not cast him out. And we're going to find that Jesus rebukes them for that. So he responds as a father is the best way he knows how to respond. If you can do anything. And the Lord says all things are possible with God. Now what is significant about that particular statement? In Mary's conversation with the angel that she is going to have a child, she doubts because she is young. She is not married yet. And she's going to have a child. And it's going to be of God. And she has some doubts about that. But the angel responds to her and says, all things are possible with God. And she believed. And she bore a child. Jesus himself, when he was in the garden, he did not want to drink the cup that he knew he must drink. He prayed three times. Jesus Christ said to his Father, I know that you can do all things. If it is your will, please let this cup pass from me. So there's an understanding when we think about God and we think about our lives is that God can do anything. But how much do you believe that? A one? A three? A ten? In Matthew the 11th chapter, we find here that our Lord, he says to us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think it's a great challenge to us as Christians. We may be very, very strong about some things. Baptism is essential to be saved. No piano in the church building. Eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I mean, there are things that we're just a 10 on, right? We're a 10 on it. But sometimes when it comes just to the daily life, you know, life happens to us. Things that are unexpected, we have to deal with. We're not prepared. And it challenges us. It rocks our faith. And we thought we were strong. We thought we were really good Christians. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're broadsided with something that happens to us that really just rocks our world. My guess is that all of us get to a point sometimes that we become weary and we become heavy laden with something. Jesus said, I will give you rest. But do we respond? Well, Lord, if you can do anything. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Those statements are not maybe, you might, you will find rest for your soul. I am thoroughly convinced that there are so many of us as Americans, because of how we've been raised, the society we live in, there are lots of factors. And I don't know that there is an X factor. There are lots of factors. But there is a lot of us that are really, really in serious bad trouble. We're emotionally messed up. We have nervous issues. We have high blood pressure. We have all kinds of issues that we're constantly taking medications for. Nothing wrong with medications. You got to take them. You got to take them. But I'm convinced that the majority of us are taking medications simply because we don't have a faith in God that we ought to have. If we would have a greater faith in God and trust in Him, I think that would help our blood pressure. Because we worry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, a passage that's very common to us, says, no temptation is overtaken you, but such is common to man. And what is the first thing we become convinced of when we're going through some difficulty? This has never happened to anybody else. Nobody has ever had to deal with this kind of thing. I'm the only one that is suffering like this. And you know, I've just got a real raw deal. That is one way that the devil can deceive you into thinking that you are a loser. That you are the prime target for the nuclear bomb that no one else has ever experienced. And you feel sorry for yourself and you get down on yourself. And let me tell you, that's nothing more than a lack of trust in God. And God is faithful, the text says. Are we faithful? God is faithful. Are we faithful? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation provide the way escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Did you hear that? You can endure it. You can deal with this if you want to. I know there are days that are dark. I know that there are days that are black. I know that there are days that we just don't feel like spiritually we can put one foot in front of the other again. We're tired. We're weary. We're about to give up. We're about to quit. And how does it manifest itself? We're not reading the Bible. We're not studying the Bible. We're not praying like we should. We're not trying to teach somebody the gospel. We're all about ourselves and we're drowning in self-pity. Our marriage is not what it ought to be. Well, get in line. We have problems with our kids. Get in that line. Everybody has issues. Do you have physical problems? Do you have to go to the doctor? Does it hurt to do this? Everybody's got issues. The Lord knows we have issues, but He says you can endure it. God is faithful. Are we faithful? That's what it boils down to. May I suggest to us that it only does us some good when we really do believe. Now somebody says, Brother Salih, are you trying to become a little bit charismatic here? Are you trying to say that God's just going to whammy us with a miracle? I don't believe that any man, that God uses any man to do instantaneous, right there, Johnny on the spot, healings and miraculous things anymore. That has ended. The purpose of that to begin with, through men, was to confirm the word spoken. The word has been spoken. The word has been confirmed. The end of miracles in that sense are over and done and through. But that does not mean that God does not still work. That does not mean that God still can do whatever He wants to do. So I do believe that God can do miracles today. Don't misunderstand that. I believe He can. He doesn't work through me in the sense I don't perform any miracles. Back in the first century when Paul preached until midnight and the fellow fell out the window and he was dead and Paul went down and picked him up. Now you won't have very far to fall if you can even fall out that window. But if you fall here in the floor and hit your head on the concrete and you die, I'll pick you up and carry and put you in the ambulance, but you're going to die. You're dead. I'm not going to be able to heal you. But now we pray for you. Can God heal you? Can God? We think sometimes people are dead and they're not dead. That ever happened, Brad? The idea that, you know, what we think a person is, they're a goner, they're done, they're finished, no more can be done. Does God sometimes have the last word on that? God always has the last word on that. What should we trust? In God. But I am convinced, and I remember throughout the ministry of Jesus, that Jesus became very, very, very upset when He was trying to help people and teach people, and they did not believe. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, he was amazed at the people's unbelief. He could not believe that they were so untrusting. You remember that when Jesus arose from the dead, of all people that should have believed that He arose from the dead should have been who? Who should have, all people who should have believed He raised from the dead? Who should have believed that? His apostles. Who was the very ones that did not believe? His apostles. And He rebuked them severely for that. He chastised them in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. Faith is essential to pleasing God. And I guess if you don't get anything else out of this lesson today, please understand what our Lord said. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's not just applying to being baptized. Do you have to have faith in order to come to God and be baptized and have your sins forgiven? Would we just gather up somebody and they're not a believer and they're kicking and screaming and we take them back there and we just dunk them in the water? Would that do them any good? You know that wouldn't do them a bit of good. They would just get wet, right? But once you become a Christian, does it take faith to live every day? Yes. And I'm thinking that the way we live our lives sometimes, we have a lot of faith on Sunday. Not quite as much Sunday night. And Wednesday night we have not a whole lot at all. And if we got something else to do, we'll just do it. Does that not speak to our faith? just living your life every day. The kind of language we use. How we participate in work if we're honest and have integrity. The way we deal with our neighbors. That takes faith. Confidence in God. I'm convinced that we are not out here trying to set up Bible studies in our homes and inviting people who are not Christians to our homes to have a Bible study because we do not have faith. We don't trust the process. Well, I tried it one time and it didn't work. Maybe you tried it one time and it did work. And you did it one time and just goes like, yes, I have done my deed for life. I help a person see the gospel. Therefore, I am done. What are you supposed to be spending your life doing, brethren? We are disciples. We are Christians. Do we have faith? Our problem is we believe, but just not enough. I want you to turn to the Matthew account, Matthew 17, the account of the same story we're talking about. And I want to read just a couple of verses here that illustrate something that maybe you haven't thought about. Matthew 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And you'll look at the context, the same story. Verse 20. And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith." If there was anybody that I was going to call has little faith, it would not be the apostles. But what did Jesus say to them? You got little faith. What does that say for me? I am no apostle. Nowhere near an apostle. If the apostles could have little faith, what about me? What about you? Here's something we're going to have to recognize, brethren. Ain't none of us apostles. And if the apostles had times when they were weak in faith, what does that say about me? So I got to fess up. Sometimes I am not what I ought to be because I don't have enough faith. So what does that say about faith? It comes and goes. The importance of reading and studying the Bible and assembling with saints is to increase our faith. Why? Because it's like gasoline. You fill your car up. How long does it last? Do you have to go back and fill it up again and again and again? Same thing with your faith. I must say to us that Jesus Christ severely rebuked His disciples. They should have been able to cast out this spirit. But because of their littleness of faith. Now let's think about that a moment. Why did they have little faith? They were performing miracles. They should have been on a high. They should have felt this awesome and great about that. Not to the glory of themselves, but to the glory of God. And here comes this man. Have they performed miracles? Have they healed? Yes. But here comes this one that is a little bit tougher. There's actually two reasons that the Lord gave as to why they couldn't cast it out. First, it was their littleness of faith. And then secondly, He says this kind can only be cast out with prayer, and some versions add fasting. My guess is the apostles may have become like we become sometime. They took it for granted. All they'd have to say in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of there and it happens. Now, I'm not wanting to accuse them of anything. I'm just what-ifing. Because they're human beings just like us. Maybe along the way, they would continue to heal, and they healed so many places. And there were people that were just coming after them, and they were surrounded by it. And maybe, I don't know how they do it. Don't. I'm not making a Harry Potter deal out of it. But it's kind of the idea. Maybe they just, bing, 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 bing. They're trying to heal these people, and they take it kind of for granted. And then they run into this deal. I don't know that performing one miracle is any more difficult than another miracle, but I believe that happened for the benefit of those apostles. And the Lord was teaching them a lesson. Don't you ever take your faith for granted. And don't just assume that just because you have a little faith, that that's going to take care of every situation. Because sometimes it takes a lot of prayer and it takes a lot of fasting for this to be overcome. And we get to feeling kind of bad for ourselves. We get a little bit low, and we know we ain't been living right. We haven't been doing our best. And we'll up and get all ready and come to church Sunday. And we'll sit here and Salih will give us a good verbal beating. And then we'll go home and we'll feel a lot better. And we think we're all ready for tomorrow and through the rest of the week. And then the devil comes up and just hits you right in the face. And he knocks you out. And you don't know what happened. It's because you're not taking it seriously. These apostles struggled with their faith at times. And so do we, brethren. You have got to see that. We struggle. There are times that are hard. And there are times that we give in. Jesus uses in verse 20, he says, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for I truly say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here and to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, I think there is a sense in which the apostles had a significant use of that in a miraculous way. But you never read of any recorded incidents. You never even hear in traditions that the apostles actually moved a mountain. So it was metaphorical. What is a mountain in your life? Without repeating or saying it specifically, I've had mountains in my life. And I tell you, when you run into that mountain, it's not made of sand, it's made of stone. And you'll run right into it and you'll bust your nose and it'll bleed and it'll hurt. There's only one way to remove that mountain. And that's with faith in God. I think a lot of you out there, your noses are bleeding. What you going to do about it? Ain't none of us can do anything about it. You have to want to believe. You have to want to trust in the Lord. God can help our unbelief. God can help our unbelief. God does not give us great faith and courage and strength to keep on keeping on, and then you go live like you want to live. God does not give you faith, and then you serve yourself. He will give you great faith to serve Him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. I want to conclude this morning by reading another passage in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Last few weeks, I've been doing a lot of preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And I've at least this, in this stage of my life, I've gone back to some of the most simple kinds of preaching and teaching from this great sermon. And I believe that it's been some of the most beneficial for me personally to get back to the basics. You remember this great story? We sung this song several times in Vacation Bible School. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Has your house ever fallen? Mine too. And it makes a mess. When you don't build it upon the Lord and faith in God, your house will not stand. Brethren, do not continue. Do not continue to dismiss your problems and your issues. Do not proverbially stick your head in the sand and it'll just go away. Ignoring problems, ignoring your weaknesses, that is not how you fix it. We must come to Him and realize, not if you can, but we need to come to Him humbly and admit and realize you're the only one that can do anything. And we believe you can help us. Help us. And let Him help you. Well, Brother Salih, it'd take a miracle to fix. How much is your faith? You know, the end of the story, when Jesus cast out the spirit, did you notice the text? The text said that the boy lay still like he was dead. And what did people say? He's dead. Jesus killed him. Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up. He wasn't dead. And the text says they were amazed. Amazed at the greatness of God. I tell you what, brothers and sisters in Christ, I know enough about you in 2 years already that there are a number of you that God has raised from the dead. I know some of you have had some issues and problems in your life. Now, the rest of you that I don't know about, you've had problems too. I just don't know it. Because everybody has problems. Everybody has issues. But it's the same fix for everybody. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to come to Him on His terms. Preaching and teaching is to motivate you and to help you. But I tell you what screams to you your problems. Somebody has said, God speaks to us through His Word. He whispers to us through His Word, but He screams to us through our pain. I think God does allow us to have pains and problems because He wants you to look to Him for help. You cannot survive without Him, brethren. You are deceived if you think that's true. Why don't you come to Him? Why don't you come back to Him? You say, Brother Salih, I'm here today. Yeah, the apostles were standing right there, and that father was upset because they couldn't heal his son too. The apostles were with the Lord Himself. And they had weak faith. Just because you're sitting in this building doesn't mean you have great faith. Just because you're here today and you've come to serve the Lord, that's a great thing. I'm encouraged by it. But you must take a serious look at your heart. Where are you in faith? And I say that to all of us. Where am I? Because sometimes our faith is weak. This morning, I hope and trust we understand where great faith lies. The source is only God. And God will only perform great things in your life when you believe with all of your heart. You may believe just a little bit, and you may be asking God to do something for you. You know why He doesn't answer you? You know why your life doesn't change? Because you do not believe very much at all. What does it take to become a Christian? Remember what Philip said to the eunuch? If you believe with all your heart, you may. When does that change? Never. You must believe with all of your heart. Got marriage issues? If you continue to have marriage issues, there may be lots of problems, but here's your main problem. You got no faith in God. You got parental issues, children issues. How do you resolve that? With complete faith and trust in God. Do it His way. No questions. Do it. He will bless you. That's His promise. We can help you this morning in any way. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Signs call sweetly, rings over land and sea.